The Great Secret by E. Phillips Oppenheim. Chapter 1. Room 317. I laid my papers down upon the broad mahogany counter and exchanged greetings with the tall, frock-coated reception clerk who came smiling towards me. "I should like a single room on the third floor east, about the middle corridor," I said. "Can you manage that for me? 317 I had the last time." He shook his head at once. "I am very sorry, Mr. Courage," he said, "but all the rooms in that corridor are engaged. We will give you one on the second floor at the same price." I was about to close with his offer when, with a word of excuse, he hurried away to intercept someone who was passing through the hall. A junior clerk took his place and consulted the plan for a moment doubtfully. "There are several rooms exactly in the locality you asked for," he remarked, "which are simply being held over. If you would prefer 317, you can have it, and I will give 217 to our other client." "Thank you," I answered. "I should prefer 317, if you can manage it." He scribbled the number upon a ticket and handed it to the porter, who stood behind with my dressing case. A page caught up the key, and I followed them to the lift. In the light of things which happened afterwards, I have sometimes wondered what became of the unfortunate junior clerk who gave me room number 317. It was 6 o'clock when I arrived at the Hotel Universal. I washed, changed my clothes, and was shaved in the barber's shop. Afterwards I spent, I think, the ordinary countryman's evening about town, having some regard always to the purpose of my visit. I dined at my club, went on to the Empire with a couple of friends, supped at the Savoy, and after a brief return visit to the club, a single game of billiards, and a final whiskey and soda, returned to my hotel contented and sleepy, and quite prepared to tumble into my bed. By some chance, the history of nations as my own did will sometimes turn upon such slight events. I left my door ajar whilst I sat upon the edge of the bed, finishing a cigarette and treeing my boots, preparatory to depositing them outside. Suddenly, my attention was arrested by a somewhat curious sound. I distinctly heard the swift, stealthy footsteps of a man running at full speed along the corridor. I leaned forward to listen. Then, without a moment's warning, they paused outside my door. It was hastily pushed open and as hastily closed. A man, half-clothed and panting, was standing facing me, a strange, pitiable object. The boots slipped from my fingers. I stared at him in blank bewilderment. "What the devil?" I began.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?